Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. This is Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? Well, we're giving you biblical strategies and motivation so you can get out there and get stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. So we've got a great episode planned today. Thanks so much for joining us. Share the podcast with somebody that you love. This might be the day that the Lord really speaks to them. Hey, I'm joined in the studio by some fantastic people. Praise the Lord. We got Christina here.
Hey.
And Bob.
Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Love being here.
Yes. Yeah. You guys do an excellent job. So, hey, together, we're all going to help you get out there and get some stuff done. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for speaking through us today. And all the people that are tuning in, whether they're watching us live or they're listening to us now in the archives, Father, we just thank you. There's no time or distance in the Spirit. And we thank you that this is a Kairos moment, Father, that you'll minister to them, strengthen them, feed them, encourage them, challenge them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. And everybody that agreed said,
Amen.
Say, so we want to, today we want to jump in here and kind of jump off of the podcast we did last week. Of course, we had our special guest, Don Allen. Check out his podcast, the new old school podcast with Don Allen. But we kind of introduced this idea called the apostolic generation. And so we're going to take that just a little bit further today. And the Lord's going to help us. And let's look at this. And so the apostolic generation. And let's say this right at the beginning. The Lord, Jesus, ministered to his disciples. And they had some questions about some things of how things work in the Spirit, how things work in the kingdom. And they had some questions over some things Jesus was saying. And he answered them. He said, hey, look, this is really easy. I'm going to help you guys here. I'm going to paraphrase. But he said, let me help you. You guys know this, that things work in a cyclical, circular fashion and a pattern. Things originate with God, and he ministers in it into our spirit. We receive it. We give birth to it. We mature it. And then we offer it back up to him where he gets the glory. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we see that in the church, there was something that he began with first. And then if you know your biblical history, we saw it in the book of Acts where the apostles were fundamental and foundational. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, he says, God has appointed these in the church first apostles. Well, being a scholar of sorts, hallelujah, praise the Lord, getting into the scriptures and then looking at what God's doing over the generations, we know that we've entered into an apostolic era. We've entered into a time where there will be great reform and a restoration, or a restoration so that there can be a reformation in the apostolic movement. But why is that? Why now? Well, it's because of that circular pattern. And what he began with, he's going to finish with. And so we see a whole generation that is getting prepared, being called, being maneuvered, being equipped and graced to bring a fulfillment about in God's plans. And so when we say an apostolic generation, we're not necessarily saying that everybody's going to be an apostle, but surely many are being maneuvered, many are being developed, many are being graced to function in an apostolic nature, in an apostolic paradigm, carrying an apostolic calling. And while there will be and there are apostles, I believe a generation will be earmarked with an apostolic paradigm. And I think that's kind of what Don and I talked about last week on the podcast. You can go back in the archives and listen to that. There's a spirit about this generation that resonates with an apostolic nature, an apostolic paradigm. And so we're just kind of jump into this today. And so thankful to have you guys here to just jump in and let's talk about it. And again, let's be clear that not everybody is going to be an apostle. In fact, if we look at Ephesians 4 and we look at the gifts that Christ gave, there are five: the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And surely not everybody's called to be in the particular office. But man, there are so many people that resonate with a similar paradigm, mission mandate, mission perspective. Some resonate as pastor. They have the earmarks. You know, there is a spirit about them that would, you know, resonate with the pastor, but they may not be necessarily called into the office. They haven't been graced specifically with that. Or the evangelist. There are some that are really geared towards that. That's what they dream about. That's what they think about. And then, of course, that would be true with all of them. But then there are those that have that, they resonate with that apostolic. And so we want to bring just a little bit of clarity. And I got to give the disclaimer up front here, guys, that I am not a definitive authority on the subject. But we have...
okay.
Okay.
We'll leave now.
Okay, yeah.
We're done.
All right. So enough of this podcast. But we'll share what we understand and release our faith for more understanding.
Amen.
And so while we are not the definitive source for information or revelation on it, there are certainly many out there that are what we might say true apostolic gifts in the body of Christ. And they are functioning with great revelation on their ministry grace, their ministry calling, and they're disseminating that. So we can partake of that, but we'll share what we understand, we'll share what we know, and we'll release our faith for more utterance as we get into this.
Well, one of the big things is what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to study. You can't rely just on everything that comes across the airwaves, what your pastor says at church. You've got a book, you've got eyes, you get in and study. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying.
Hallelujah. You know, speaking of that too, you know, Timothy, you know, in all intents and purposes, Timothy pastored that church.
Right.
But remember what Paul told him. He said, hey, do the work of an evangelist. By the way, he didn't say, Timothy, you are called, appointed, and anointed and graced as evangelist. He said, do the work. So what we're talking about is there's a spirit of a thing that can resonate with folks.
Right.
And there's a spirit of a generation where God is doing something significant, and many resonate with what he's doing, even though they may not walk in the fullness, or they may not be called to the office. You know, when I read Paul's admonition to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, while I am not an evangelist in the sense of the, you know, direct definition or ministry calling and appointment, that still resonates with me that, hey, we've got to keep that in mind. We have to understand the function. We have to desire it. We have to position it. We have to call for it. We've got to include it. And even though I'm not an evangelist, I don't stand in the office of an evangelist, we still would recognize and promote the work of an evangelist. And then, of course, when I'm standing there, you know, at Walmart or wherever, and I hear the Lord saying, go up and talk to that person, I say, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
And so
you're not an electrician, and you do a lot of electrical work around
here. But I am
here.
Not licensed.
You're not,
right?
You're not a carpenter.
Yeah.
But you do that work.
Yeah.
And that's what God has placed in the body. He's placed these gifts so that we can operate in all of them, but we may not be in that office.
That's good.
That's good.
That is good. And, of course, you know, we don't want to pigeonhole anybody. And what I mean by that is, you know, we don't want to associate a label and then somebody feels like, well, I can't do anything else but that. And while we believe that, you know, you are called, I mean, if you're in full-time ministry in particular, then, you know, that there is a predominant ministry grace that has come upon you to fulfill your assignment as Jesus, the head of the church, has given you instructions. But you may flow in and out of several of the Ephesians 4, what I call ministry paradigms or ministry graces. And, you know, people call me pastor because that's culturally what we would associate with the leader of a, you know, an organization or a church. But really, my ministry gift, my main ministry paradigm is not that of pastor or shepherd in that sense. While we understand it, and at times, I fully believe that the Lord has graced me and anointed me in situations that have pastored or shepherd people and helped nurture them, feed them, heal them, bring about, you know, confidence and peace, and led them to green grass and the still waters. You know, obviously that has worked and flowed through me, but that's not the predominant ministry grace that's upon my life. So, you know, we kind of flow in and out of some of these to some extent. And I don't fully understand all of that, but the Lord's going to help us. Right. But we want to talk about the apostolic generation because I think that's the spirit of the thing that the Lord's doing. And that's because, once again, of the circular pattern that things originate with God, foundational level, and then we'll end up again coming through that. So, you know, we see that the church was furthered along by the apostles. He instituted the apostles first in the church. We're in something of an apostolic restoration, so that there can be huge reformation, and we're going to see that come to pass. And everybody that I know that has sought the Lord concerning what He's doing in the apostolic movement is most definitely seeing an increase in activity. They're saying that we've come into, you know, an era of sorts, or some people use the word season, but we've come into something where the Lord is dealing specifically with apostolic function in the earth. So we thank you, Lord, for it. Now, I heard this some years ago, and in dealing with the Ephesians 4:11, where it says, He Himself, this is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All these ministry graces are still active. They're still functioning. And then the Lord said this, there's to be unity amongst the ministry graces, but instead there have been factions, confusions, and division. And because there has been confusion about the operation of these gifts, some have not valued, and some have valued, and some have been valued over others. But He said, all five are for my body. And so we're going to look today at the apostle. The Greek would be apostolos. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And here's something that I've been looking at, and there are several ministers, you know, that I've been following after that have brought some clarity. They are sharing quite a bit of their understanding of how these ministry graces, these offices, these ministry paradigms and perspectives work. And most people would define an apostle as a sent one. And we were talking about this before the podcast. Well, I don't really know if that captures the ultimate full picture of what apostolic function really is. And, you know, so they say, well, if you've ever planted a church, you're an apostle. Well, sure, an apostle has been involved in that. But you know what? So have evangelists. And either by default, or they see the need of what to do with the harvest of souls that have come in. And an evangelist will can function as a pastor for a short time, but really the evangelist can go out there, he can reap souls, and then he says, what are we going to do with these folks? Well, he can work in establishing something, but a lot of people don't call him an apostle just because he was a sent one or just because he established a work. So I think a sent one is part of the definition, but it's not the complete. And I think if we were going to maybe define what an apostolic generation is, or what an apostle specifically is, what an apostolic gift or an apostolic function is, they are a representative, or they are an ambassador. They are a delegate. They are in a particular area, not because they're representing themselves or they have sent themselves. You know, a lot of people are sending themselves. But a true apostle is in a particular place, let's say. They're amongst a particular people because they are representing, they are an ambassador of King Jesus Himself, and they hold blueprints. They carry instructions, foundational instructions from the King Himself concerning a particular area. Now, we can kind of look at this in Titus. Let's turn there. This just came up in my spirit. And here we see in Titus, let me get there, chapter 1, verse 5, and here Titus has been sent or left in Crete that you should what? Set in order the things that are lacking. Now, that is a very subjective idea here. Is it left up to what Titus thinks? I mean, did he bring his, you know, his church growth manual and he's just going to consult the book? You know, what, you know, we need to do an Easter event. You know, we need to have pictures. We need a cool website. You know, what is being set in order? Well, it goes back to blueprint. King Jesus himself, the head of the church, the one who's building the church, okay, he's the one who is the ultimate holder, the one, the originator of what is being built, but yet delegating, he is releasing into apostolos, okay? This is why they're sent, okay? But he is releasing to them, giving to them, revealing to them foundational blueprint level instructions of what needs to be done in this particular area. And so we see, you know, Paul here saying, look, I'm going to put you here because I have insight and information and revelation. You know, all this is within the scope of Paul's, the Greek word would be metron or his canon. Paul has information given to him by the king himself, blueprint level revelation and instructions. Here we see him delegating to Titus, look, I'm going to put you here because there's some things that need to be set in order. And this, to me, this is apostolic paradigm. This is an apostolic function here. And we see Titus, who is getting instructions himself because Paul holds the blueprints. There's communication here. There's delegation here. There is a commissioning here. And all this is, you know, what is going to be set in order is going to be referenced back to the blueprints. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now obviously Titus wasn't left there to just do whatever he wanted to do. There is something deeper that I think a lot of the apostolic function carries that helps to hold, helps to combine all the ministry paradigms, ministry offices, ministry graces, helps to combine them as a synchronous unit rather than just doing whatever you want to do. And I think this is one of the biggest things we see about the apostolic function is this delegate, this representative of King Jesus that has been given a scope of authority. The blueprints that he holds stretch over has defined boundaries. Let's say it like that. And he's responsible then for working together with the other ministry graces to see to it that the people are built, they're established, their lives have a foundation, and that foundation is built upon until that which King Jesus ultimately has begun in them will reach its fullness or reach its final. And so we see, let's look at this, hallelujah, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians 3, 9, well, look at verse 6. Paul said, I planted. Once again, foundational. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, we see something here that I believe is important in this, is that the apostolic function carries. They've been uniquely graced with blueprint level, foundational level ministry paradigm. Not all the ministry graces think as foundational as the apostolic grace. All are needed, and they're equal in this sense, that they are revelations of Jesus Christ himself. And the fullness of Christ, Christ Jesus, hasn't been given to just one office. They work together to reveal Christ as a whole. But uniquely, the apostolic is one that is sent, yes, but more of a representative, an ambassador that has foundational level paradigm. It is one that is separated, one that's called out, and they're sent forth with orders. I think, you know, if we're going to say they're just a sent one, well, what are they sent with? They're not sending themselves. They're not representing themselves. They are literally representing Jesus Christ as blueprint holders. I don't know if I can say that enough. One definition of an apostle is one assigned and sent out ahead with instructions. Well, instructions concerning what? Concerning what Jesus wants established in a particular area. Hallelujah. You guys, just jump in here whenever you've got something. Okay. So now, if we were going to compare and contrast here, like the pastor and the evangelist, grace say, specifically the pastor is like a shepherding, is like interested in shepherding, a caretaker, a nurturer. The evangelist specifically is like a gatherer. In fact, I was listening to Dutch Sheets the other day, and he kind of used metaphors, but one metaphor he used for the evangelist was like the recruiter. You know, he was using military terms. He said the apostle is kind of like the general, and the pastor is kind of like the cook and the medic, and the teacher was like the drill sergeant, and the prophetic was like the intelligence, you know, military intelligence, you know. And, you know, if we want to use those metaphors, those analogies, you know, the general carries big picture, blueprint level. He's not the cook. He would do poor as a recruiter. He's not functioning in intelligence. But yet the general is uniquely graced, like the apostle, to bring all the things together as a synchronous, you know, because he holds blueprints, he knows this needs to be built, this wall needs to go there, this needs to be established here, this has to look like this, that has to look like this. Here's what King Jesus wants. We're not building our own thing. Here's the blueprints or the specific instructions concerning this particular area, like Crete. These are the things that have to be torn down. These are the things that have to be built up. And, of course, the prophetic works with that. As they're getting that prophetic insight, they're getting that intelligence about these things. But then that information then is disseminated to the apostolos, the apostolic. They're the ones who were sent to a region, to a territory, to a Crete, say. And they're the ones that Jesus is working through primarily in this sense to just make sure that the work Jesus wants gets done. And all these different elements, all these different graces are working together then to bring those people, the house that's being built, to bring that house, that building, into maturity, full stature.
It's you can imagine and picture a giant umbrella over an area, and that is the blueprint for that area. And that apostle is sent in with all these other people that they're not under him. They are a part of the body of Christ with their part to do in it. So this umbrella, years ago when I went to Russia, Pastor Tim, our pastor at that time, had asked me to teach some classes. Well, in one of the classes, I brought an umbrella with me, and I got down as low as I could on the ground and opened up that umbrella inside that classroom. And I says, now, this is the church that we're going to establish here, and you're all going to imagine that you're underneath this umbrella. I can only take those people as far as I was willing to lift that umbrella and the standards. And so an apostle goes in there with that umbrella, and he stands up, and he can gather everybody underneath it with all of their gifts, all the prophets, all the evangelists, all the pastors, all the teachers get underneath that. And that is that apostolic umbrella that's there. And it's not just one. I'm one of the things that you had said that I'm not sure that Titus was sent as an apostle. I think he was sent under the apostle, and Crete was just one part underneath that umbrella.
I totally agree.
And everybody has a part under that umbrella, because why? We're united as the body of Christ.
We see there are other functioning apostles in the New Testament, but we also see a predominant, because, you know, Paul alluded to wise master builders. He didn't say, I'm the only one. There was this, but yet we do see Paul, such a foundational, prophetic, although there was quite a bit of prophetic unction there, but a foundational, originating, blueprint carrying work that Paul did.
Yeah.
And I think what we could say here before we move on is that definitely, and once again, my own understanding is increasing. I'm open to the Lord to help us and give us insight and wisdom concerning these matters and these topics. So I'm not a definitive authority on the topic, but I think what we can definitely see is that apostles would definitely be in the originating foundational blueprint level.
Yes.
I mean, if you allow the Lord to just unpack that for you, I think you can see that rather than just being a sent one or just, oh, hey, that guy planted a church, he must be an apostle. I think that's a weak definition. I don't think it's a complete picture, especially because so much of what's going on is not under the, I mean, not all, but surely there's a lot of building that's taking place that is not authorized by Jesus himself. We don't know what you're building. In fact, Paul said, you got to be watchful what you're building. You can't build on anything but the foundation, which is Christ. And so, at Jesus, the apostle and high priest, he's been given by the Father the ultimate set of blueprints here. And so any delegation or any commissioning subsequent to Jesus as the head of the church in apostolic authority would mean that you have been given by Jesus. You hold, and I'm not saying literally you've got these blueprints, but you have in your spirit, you have insight concerning what Jesus is desirous of building and originating in an area. And you've been given a scope then. You've been given, this is where the Greek word metron, you've been given parameters in which that authority to build and to lay foundation, you've been given authority within those boundaries to help lay foundation and build what Jesus desires to be built in those areas. And we would know, and we could see that some, their parameters and their boundaries may be smaller or larger than others, but that's up to the head of the church. That's not up to us. And so surely you can endeavor to build in an area that you're not authorized. You don't have the blueprints for that area. And this is what I'm saying. This is where there can be a lot of wasted time. And Paul said this, you've got to be watchful what you're building. Because everything that you're building is going to be tested. And that which is part of the plan that Jesus had, if whatever you've built there will stand scrutiny. Mm-hmm. It'll pass the test of time, but it'll be a quick, you know, we'll be able to differentiate and sort out what was just wood, hay, and stubble, things that you built that you just thought, hey, I think this is a great idea. But if it wasn't authorized, it's not going to last. And why would we need to recognize, honor, seek out even that apostolic gift? Because we don't want our work to be in vain. Unless he builds the house, he that labors what? Labors in vain. And we don't have time for that. No. And so, you know, we would say this, that the apostolic and the prophetic in particular are building graces. And we need their gift. Yes. We need their gift in the body. If we can even recognize what the gift is. And I think that's part of the trouble.
Is very similar to what you have been ministering on for the past several weeks, a head-body relationship. Head-body,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that position of apostle, that apostolic function, is a head position that we all, as a body, get under. We need the head. That head needs the body.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of apostles, or the apostolic grace, say, has been many times associated with church governing and leadership, and also of church planning. And that is because primarily they are tasked with going on ahead. They are sent forward with specific instruction relating to something Jesus wants to do and or build. An apostle is sent with a message and specific assignment and mandate given by God directly for specific people, a specific cause, and a purpose directly concerning the kingdom of God. This message releases people from the past by confronting the present in order to establish the future. Apostles, now I'm going to probably touch on stereotypes here. And so, you know, I mean, once again, I'm just going to share what I understand in part and in my limited understanding, and seek for more to come. But typically we see apostolic paradigm, apostolic culture, apostolic elements are typically, they're visionary and pioneering. Now that doesn't mean that the pastor is not a visionary, but typically a lot of pastors aren't so much visionary because their attention is focused on the sheep. And this is why we have to have the prophetic element a lot of times involved in the whole mix. We need all five. We need all five. We need all five. Now, a lot of churches typically, at least in the United States, seem like, you know, they're typically led by pastors. And I think a lot of people get frustrated because they're not a pastor. They're called pastor, but they're not a pastor. They're an evangelist, and they're trying to, you know, shepherd and nurture a church, but they really got the go on the inside of them. Or they're prophetic, but the people don't want a prophet. They want a pastor. You know what I mean? Or they're apostolic, but the people don't want an apostle. They want a pastor, you know? And so we got to see where all these are working together for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the pattern or the measure of Christ Jesus, the fullness of Christ. And see where these graces were designed to work together. They complement one another. They're interdependent in many ways on one another. So typically, stereotypically, apostles would be visionary. They're pioneering. They're pushing into new territory. Some people call them risk takers. They're ahead of their time. Why would they be ahead of their time? It's only because, and prophets similar, because they have revelation of what God wants done. It's not that the pastor or the teacher doesn't. But many times they have access on foundational level information that is to be disseminated, shared, and worked together with everybody to see accomplished. This is why maybe they're risk takers or, quote, ahead of their time. We see that the apostolic attracts other ministry gifts. And like Dutch Sheets was saying recently in a message that I was listening to, if he was using the analogy or the metaphor of like military terms, the general. Well, obviously, the general would attract a recruiter. He would attract intelligence. He would attract cooks and medics. He would attract these different elements. Why? because of the gift, the grace, the anointing, the office in which he operates in is a particular ministry perspective or paradigm that draws to itself the other elements that complete the entirety of the military force. So apostolic would attract other ministry gifts. Why? Because they carry blueprints, and within those blueprints, there needs to be evangelism, there needs to be teaching, there needs to be pastoring and nurturing and shepherding. There needs to be prophetic insight and utterance. A lot of times we see, the other thing that's hugely associated with the apostolic is a fathering spirit. Mm-hmm. A fathering spirit. We see that language in Paul. I gave birth to you, Paul said.
Yeah.
You know, I'm your father. Well, that's kind of typical of that apostolic. Why? Because once again, originating. They're originating. We see, you know, Paul going into a new area, say, and what did he do? He went in there with blueprints. He established something, and there was a birthing of a people of God. And many of them said, man, Paul, you're our father in the faith. You know, people say, you're my spiritual father. Well, why? Because he gave birth to you. Originating.
And there's a resurgence of rebirthing going on now in the body of Christ.
There is.
And we need to embrace that. We need to embrace that rebirth that's happening. I mean, we're just mimicking basically the new birth. We're watching what God started, give birth, give birth, give birth, to eventually that Christ-like figure goes back to the Father.
Exactly. I heard this somewhere, this statement concerning apostles was this. One of the distinguishing marks of apostles is the ability to embrace all of their ministry gifts. And we were looking at this before the podcast, and I said, hey, guys, you remember that thing of the hand, you know, where they put the fivefold ministry graces on the hand? And every image that I've seen had the apostle here at the thumb. Well, what can the thumb do? The thumb can touch all the other fingers. Whereas I have a little bit of difficulty if I try and touch my other fingers together. You know, we could force it, say.
Yeah.
But the thumb uniquely can embrace and touch all the other fingers. And now I'm not saying that image of the hand is the final authority on that, but it's a very interesting thought. Mm-hmm. That if the apostolic unique foundational element is involved, very heavily involved. I mean, have you ever tried to pick up something without your thumb?
It's really hard.
You ever tried to walk around without a big toe? Now, I've never tried to do that because I have both of my big toes currently. But the big toe...
I don't want to find out.
Yeah. And the big toe may not be the thumb of the foot. I was just thinking, I was like, I don't know if that's an accurate statement. But,
but unless you hang from trees or something like that. You know,
but
you
without the big toe, your balance is off.
Yeah.
Right.
So we see that, you know, that foundational blueprint level is imperative in the function of all the other ministry graces and vice versa. And so that was just a very interesting statement that one of stereotypically the distinguishing marks is they are able to embrace all the other ministry gifts. Once again, if I go back to what Dutch Sheets said, and using the metaphor, the analogy of military terms, the general, notice the general, he is uniquely graced to be able to embrace all the other functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knows we need a cook, because if these guys don't get fed, he knows we need a medic, because if these guys aren't nurtured and repaired, he knows we need recruiters. He knows we need intelligence. And so the general is not better than, but you can see how he's imperative to bring all the other functions together to help the other ministry graces and giftings all understand their role based on the blueprint. All right? With the prophet, the apostolic helps to maintain order and balance in spiritual things because they're foundational, usually used to walk ahead in things so that others have a better path to follow. They work in uncharted territory many times, being the first to birth something new for the body of Christ. Once again, though, stereotypically, obviously, all people, the intercessors and others, are also utilized together in the ultimate. But I'm saying that, you know, if what we were just saying, where even Paul was like, hey, I'm your father. I gave birth to you. Apostles and prophets particularly are utilized to break the matrix or the womb of new spiritual levels and territory for a group of people. They press into and through to develop a new place, space, level, or paradigm that God is wanting to bring others into. That's the thing about this typically with apostolic nature paradigm, ministry grace, ministry function. They would function and do function in a fathering spirit. And so they are tasked in leading people specifically, I mean, any good leader, but leading people not just into potential, but into purpose. Fathers are called. Remember that scripture in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. Parents are uniquely positioned where they go to Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. and they work with Heavenly Father to get the assignment, the calling, the mandate on the child. We don't. It's not train up a child in the way the child wants to go. Mm-hmm. It's you are unique. Spiritual mothers and fathers are uniquely positioned to help bring about the purpose of the Heavenly Father in that individual, where that individual does not understand, nor is interested in, or maybe distracted. Maybe they're chasing potential but missing purpose. Spiritual fathers work with Heavenly Father. Spiritual mothers work with Heavenly Father to bring about the ultimate purpose in that person. That would be most definitely function of the apostolic.
Yeah. You know, we're getting ready to close here. I know that. And but I just want to urge you that are watching out there and you think, well, I'm not called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be a prophet or an evangelist. I do a little bit of teaching. And don't look at your position as a lowly position.
Come on, Bob.
It is an elevated position, and God promotes from within. You may be cleaning toilets at the church right now. You may not even have that level of job at the church, but God promotes from within. He has maybe called you to be an apostle, but you have to go through that training process.
Wow. That's really good. A couple thoughts here as we kind of close is we said that this is an apostolic generation. So there's a spirit of a thing, the spirit of a thing upon a people. And while, as Bob said, you may not be called into the office of apostle. And I mean, people are associating titles with themselves left and right. I mean, there are self-appointed everythings. I mean, there are some self-appointed pastors that are doing, I mean, a terrible job. Self-appointed teachers, self-appointed prophets, self-appointed apostles. A lot of people gravitate to self-appointments in the apostolic prophetic because they think the prestige, the control, you know, it's many of them get into it because they think, you know, they're the cat's meow. And, you know, with all these exaggerations and abuses of apostolic networks and downlines and all this kind of stuff, and, oh, man, I have 1,000 sons in the faith or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, oh okay, yeah, sure. Deadbeat dad. So there's a lot of self-appointments there. You know, I don't really actually see a whole lot of self-appointed pastors that actually get down into and begin to do the work of nurturing people. And because they think, well, there's a lot more glory in the apostle or the prophetic. Well, look, all these graces are called to serve. All these graces right. are called to serve. And the thing is, we're not saying because there's a spirit of a thing that's working in a generation, maybe there's a restoration and reformation. And so we're seeing a function come back and work right before our eyes when maybe we hadn't seen it work before. What I'm saying is if the Lord's got his hand on a thing because he began with the thing and he's going to finish with it, then it's highlighted. And that's what I'm saying. In this apostolic generation, there's a spirit of a thing being highlighted. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be called. But there's a spirit of a thing. And I think we're going to be touched and we're going to be influenced and we're going to resonate with the spirit of the thing that God is doing. You know, I resonate with Isaiah 61, where they were anointed to build. And, you know, for whatever reason, boy, that just, you know, deep calls into deep whenever I think about Isaiah 61, amongst other things. And I do carry, I carry in my own spirit, you know, insight and wisdom concerning in a particular area. And so, you know, as we are navigating what God's doing in our life and in our ministry personally, you know, we're inquiring, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're resonating with the spirit of a thing that you're doing. And so we just ask for wisdom and insight. But there is a generation that is anointed to build and rebuild. We see that in Isaiah. In fact, let's close here in Isaiah 61. Well, you can't build or rebuild if you don't have blueprints. Like, what are you rebuilding or what are you building? I mean, is it according to the pattern? See, that's Ephesians 4. These ministry graces are building according to the pattern. Somebody's holding that pattern. Somebody has insight and revelation to the pattern. Remember when the Lord, really, he caught up Moses. Moses was caught up. He got to see it firsthand. He said, I want you to build this. I want you to build it just like what you see. You're going to build according to the pattern. You're going to be sent. You're going to represent something for me. And you're going to build and ensure the building is built according to the pattern. Well, you've got to have those set of instructions. That's what's unique is what we're saying. That's unique to apostolic. And I think there's a generation that there's something unique, and you know it. I mean, kind of like Issachar. You just know deep on the inside, this needs to be established. This needs to be reestablished, rebuilt. There needs to be some remodeling done. You just, you know, and maybe that's resonating with you. I'm not saying you're an apostle, but I'm saying definitely there's something resonating about the spirit of a thing that God is doing. And either you literally are called into an apostolic type function, or you're going to be running with some. And God's uniquely connecting you with those that are functioning in this way. But here we see in Isaiah 61:4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. There's a building anointing. There's a building anointing, and that's what I see. That's what I see in this generation. If we're going to look at the 30,000 foot view, wow, man, what is the Lord doing? Well, in this circular pattern, the apostles came and they gave birth and they built and they carried blueprints. Well, and they laid foundations. You know, there was literally the apostles of the Lamb. Those were the originating apostles. They had particular instructions, mandate to do what they did while they're still apostolic function and apostles in the earth today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for them. And where are they? Introduce us to them. Those were the originating apostles, but in the same spirit, God is uniquely equipping apostles in each generation. But in the spirit of the thing in which he birthed a thing, in that same spirit of a thing, he's going to finish what he began. And we're going to see the apostolic come on the scene in a way that we haven't seen in some time. It's existed. It's been resisted. But we're in a time where the spirit of a thing is returning. Hallelujah. And so we just want to leave you with that. And let's just see what the Lord does as we begin to unpack. And the Lord's going to help us and lead us and guide us into these things. And I like what Don said last week, you know, that there's in that thought of the spirit of a thing, you know, there's a lot of evangelistic movement going on. And I think that's maybe what Don was really trying to summarize here is in this apostolic generation, There's a movement of a thing. Well, why? Because there's much building. There's much building. There's much building.
Amen.
There's an anointing to build, to build, build, build. And all these, everybody is utilized in some way. But we are putting the capstone, as it were, upon the building that Jesus began when the church was birthed.
Hallelujah.
Much movement in that sense. Much building. You hear a lot of hammers. Ba, 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 ba. Nail guns. Ka-chish, ka-chish. I mean, saws. You know, is that the sound of a saw?
Ooba, ooba,
ooba. Yeah, that's it. You hear the sound. The sound of a building reaching completion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that's what we're saying. We've entered into a spirit of a thing, an era where the spirit of the apostolic is strong.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So any closing thoughts here, guys? Stan? Praise the Lord. Bob?
This has been good.
Been very good.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Here's our closing music. Hallelujah. Friend, thank you so much for tuning in today to the podcast. You've been listening to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Why? Because King Jesus has some things that he's doing, and he's invited you, friend. He's invited you. You are invited. Hallelujah. Hey, if we've blessed you, encouraged you in any way, reach out to us. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Call us, 870-741-9099. Hey, if you need some prayer support, leave a message. We'll get right back with you. We're standing with you, friend. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next Thursday.